B-Pod Studios.
Just a little bit. And also in the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to be giving away a pair of tickets to go see Avengers Endgame. Marvel Studios Avengers Endgame opens in theaters this Friday. I do have to tell you that the 8 o'clock hour was brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. And you are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast. 9 o'clock hour brought to you by The Bagster. Dumpster in a bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to thebagster.com. And how about this? It's just not just Avengers Endgame tickets we're giving away here. We also have a pair of tickets to go see ZZ Top with special guest Cheap Trick Sunday, September 15th at the BB&T Pavilion over in Camden. Tickets available at Ticketmaster.com. Wide open lines for you. If you want to get in, now's the time for you. 610-632-0975. Right now, our Twitter poll brought to you by Window Nation says 64% of our voting audience, just under 2,000 votes, 64% say yes. They agree with Jake Arrieta calling out his team. Now to jump in some of the topics from yesterday as well as today with Donovan, jumping back a little bit, and the NFL draft getting underway Thursday from PhillyVoice.com, Mr. Jimmy Kemsky. Jimmy, good morning, buddy.
Hello, man. How are you?
I'm doing excellent, man. Thanks for coming on with us. We appreciate it. First, before we jump into the draft, I just want to get your overall reaction to the quote from Donovan McNabb regarding Carson Wentz. And what was your major takeaway from that?
I didn't really care. It's not going to happen. So, I mean, they're not going to draft a quarterback in 2 years if he doesn't meet some specific requirement, i.e. getting to the NFC Championship game. So it's not even a debate worth having, in my opinion, because it's just not going to happen. It's just nonsense.
It's just fiction, no matter what. Now, here's what...
If he got hurt or something, yeah, sure, okay. But
right.
It's a useless... quote.
Okay. I agree with you, and I asked the question. This was literally the question we asked yesterday. What was your reaction to Donovan McNabb's comments about Carson Wentz? Was it anger or was it an eye roll? And 85% of our voting audience said eye roll.
Applause for them.
There you go. Now, here's the thing. The NFL draft is getting underway on Thursday. And with the Sixers being so good and things happening with the Phillies and Bryce Harper and things surrounding the Flyers, whether good or bad, controversy, whatever, people are talking about a lot of other stuff. It's almost as if the draft hasn't gotten anywhere near the amount of attention that it has in years past. As a football writer, a man that covers all this, are you still getting a lot of that attention for people wanting to talk draft?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's interest in the Eagles year-round. I do kind of agree with what you're saying, though. When they were picking 13th overall and they traded up to 8 and then they traded up to 2, obviously that year had a ton of juice because they were going to draft a quarterback, obviously. And, you know, they weren't winning. So, it was at a time where the draft really, really... I mean, not that the draft doesn't mean, a lot now, but it really meant something then. And then the next year, they're drafting 14th. So, they're kind of up in the first half of the draft order. Last year, of course, they're picking 32nd because they won the Super Bowl and everyone was all fired. Everyone was kind of hung over from the Super Bowl, didn't really care much about the draft. And then this year, they're picking 25th. So again, there's just not a lot of juice to it. And they're going to get kind of what's left over from, what I think is going to be a pretty deep draft on the defensive and offensive lines. But there's always going to be, this really heavy interest in the draft. But I do agree that it's maybe not as much interest as there was in 2006 and 2007.
Speaking with Jimmy Kemsky at PhillyVoice.com, and Jimmy, you just earlier today, I believe it was, you released the Eagles-only mock draft, your final version. I don't want to have any giveaways here, but as a guy that's following all this, you went through not just the first round, not just the second round, but you went all the way through this draft. It's incredible. So if anyone wants to check it out, it's PhillyVoice.com, Jimmy Kemsky's piece. You have them going, though, in the first round with their pick of 25 overall. You have them adding to that defensive line.
Yeah, I am taking Dexter Lawrence, the defensive tackle from Clemson, who is 342 pounds, kind of a run stuffing specialist. And I think if you're going to take a run stuffer, you typically wouldn't want to take him in the first round. I think that's a bad use of resources. So for a guy like him, you better be pretty comfortable that he can also affect the passing game as well. And I think he can do that. I don't think he's just a run stuffing specialist, but they can go a lot of different directions with that first round pick. I think it's actually more likely that they trade up or back. I don't think they're going to sit at 25. I think they're going to make a move one way or the other. But they're either going to be aggressive going up and getting a guy who can really kind of, you know, really bolster that pass rush. And if, you know, they're unable to do that, or, you know, whatever's left over, there's nothing there that they really love, and they're going to try to get out of that spot, move back and add some extra picks. But I do think that it'll be a player along the defensive line or on the offensive line, because as they've shown, you know, they really do adhere to kind of beefing up the trenches and you know, being good and protecting the quarterback and getting after the quarterback on the defensive side of the ball.
So you think that the number one need for this team, the number one thing they need to address, is mostly pass rush?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at what they have at defensive end, they're getting older there. Brandon Graham's up over 30. Obviously, they just gave a new contract extension, so he's not going anywhere for a while. And Chris Long may not even play this season. They signed Vinnie Curry this offseason. He's up over 30. They got rid of Michael Bennett. They do have Derek Barnett, who I think is a very good, young, underrated player, but they need to add some youth and sort of add to that defensive line, edge rusher pipeline. And then a defensive tackle, obviously Fletcher Cox is an elite player, but he played way too much last year, in my opinion. So you got to give him a little bit more rest if you want him to remain an elite player for a long time. They did add Malik Jackson, but again, I think they still got to add another piece to that defensive tackle spot.
Jimmy, everybody loves the skill positions. So where do you see them addressing any of them first of all, and anybody in specific that you have in mind?
Well, there's one, the one guy that I think that might make them stray from taking somebody in the trenches would be Marquise Brown in the first round.
A speedy receiver, right?
Yeah, wide receiver from Oklahoma. He's like 5'9", 165 or something like that. So he's really little, but he is explosive. I mean, he's maybe the fastest player in this draft. He didn't run. He didn't go to the combine, but he's as fast as they come, and he can play inside and outside. So he's essentially going to be your replacement for Nelson Aguilar when he likely will leave in free agency, you know, next offseason. And then he's maybe a long-term replacement for DeSean Jackson on the outside. I think he's a great fit. It might not help you a ton in 2019. I think you can find ways to get him involved, but he's a guy that can really be a long-term answer at that spot.
Speaking with Jimmy Kemsky at PhillyVoice.com, Jimmy, what is the structure right now of the Eagles front office in terms of, does Joe Douglas go out and do the legwork and then he and Howie Roseman make a decision together, or is Howie still very much involved in that scouting process? How does it kind of work now?
Yeah, Joe Douglas sets the board from what I understand. And then, you know, when draft day comes out, obviously Howie's making the final calls on, Howie and Jeffrey Lurie aren't really making the final calls on who they take. And Howie's, you know, obviously making trades of other teams, moving up, moving back and whatnot. But it is a very, they love to say, you know, repeatedly that it's kind of a team effort in terms of, you know, how they run this draft. They're very careful about making sure that they repeat that message over and over again. Obviously, I'm not in the draft room, so I don't see, you know, the nuts and bolts of what happens there. But I think it is sort of a team effort, like they say. But the guy that does set the board is Joe Douglas. And, you know, there's a thinking that the Eagles scouting staff is one of the best in the NFL. Obviously, they're the guys that are doing the quote-unquote legwork throughout the season and, you know, leading up to the draft. And the two guys in charge, obviously, are Joe Douglas and Howie Roseman.
When you come away from this draft, when it's all said and done through the weekend and all that, other than getting that pass rusher like you mentioned a second ago, what will you need to see in order to call this draft a successful draft? Just from the instant reaction, not waiting the 3 years to see how it pans out, what do you want to see after this draft is all said and done, say by Monday morning, that'll make you go, okay, the Eagles are heading in the right direction with this draft class?
Yeah, I don't know that I have a great answer for that.
Okay.
Yeah, I think, you know, you want to come away with value. I think that, you know, a trap that you can fall into, and Eagles have fallen into in the past, is drafting for need. And that's when you come away with Danny Watkins and Jaquan Jarrett. You know, when they've had their best drafts is when they've just taken the player that's at the top of their board. You know, you look back at the 2002 draft when they drafted, you know, Lito Shepard, Sheldon Brown, and Michael Lewis and Brian Westbrook in a draft where they're already strong in the defensive secondary with Bobby Taylor and Troy Vincent and whatnot. So, you know, you want to make sure that you're not just taking guys because you need the position. In this draft, however, I think they're kind of in a good position because the strength of this draft is along the defensive line and it's along the offensive line. So the strengths of this draft kind of match up with what their needs are. So I think they're going to be okay in that department. But you don't want, again, like I said, the one thing that they just can't do that's kind of like a different way of answering your question, but the one thing they can't do is sort of reach for needs.
Right. Jimmy, who's your starting right guard to begin the season for the Eagles next year? Now, yeah, I don't need specific name. Like, you know, give me who you think it is, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I don't think Brandon Brooks is going to be ready, if that's what you're getting at.
Yeah.
I think that'll drag into the season a little bit. I mean, I'm not his doctor, but I think they're going to let him heal. You know, the Eagles, I think, understand that they're going to be a playoff team again this year. They should be a playoff team this year, so they're not going to rush him. They're going to let him come back. They want him healthy for you know, sort of the stretch run. I think they're going to have to, you know, find somebody, obviously, because that's one thing that they really do severely lack right now is depth along the interior of that offensive line. They have the three starters, Samalu, Kelsey, and Brooks, and then behind them, it's really just Matt Pryor, the guy that they drafted in the sixth round last year. So they're going to have to add somebody either in the draft or after the draft is over, they're going to have to trade for somebody or find a guy on the open market. Stefan Wisniewski is still out there. I don't know if he'd be, you know, willing to return at a discounted rate, but you know, they're going to have to find somebody just for depth purposes and somebody that they can get that who can get them through those first three games or first three, four, five, six, seven games while Brandon Brooks is still recovering.
Speaking with Jimmy Kemski, last one for you, Jimmy. In the way too early realm of predictions, looking at the NFC East, I think most people look at it as half the NFC East, the Giants and the Redskins are enjoying themselves in a nice hot dumpster fire, while the Eagles and the Cowboys seem to be the teams that are going to be the favorites to win the division. Do you see it as it coming down to those two teams, and do you see the Eagles being far and above better what the Cowboys have to offer?
Yeah, I do think it'll be those two teams. I mean, the Giants are a total mess. I mean, their quarterback's more than likely going to be Eli Manning this year. The Redskins, of course, are going to be trotting out, you know, any number of you know, scrubs, Colt McCoy, Case Keenum, maybe they trade for Josh Rosen. You know, maybe they draft a rookie in this show. Who knows? But it's not going to be pretty in either of those two, you know, football towns this year. So I do think it's going to come down to the Eagles and Cowboys. And I think the Eagles are not just better, but notably better. I think the Eagles are more talented team. I think they have the better quarterback. If he can stay healthy, obviously, it's a big question. But I think the Eagles are stronger on both sides of the ball in terms of in the trenches. I think the Eagles have the better offensive line. I think they have the better defensive line. I think they have the better quarterback. And I think they're better. I think they're more positioned to you know, have a better season than the Cowboys this year. Look at what they had last year. I mean, they just had an absurd number of injuries. The injury bad luck that they had last year, it's kind of difficult to overcome, and they still made the playoffs anyway. Went as far as the Cowboys did. The Cowboys had great injury luck, so I don't know if really they can count on that continuing year in, year out.
All right, Jimmy Kemski of PhillyVoice.com. Make sure you check out his article, Eagles Only Mock Draft Final Version. Jimmy looking at Dexter Lawrence out of Clemson, defensive tackle, as the number one pick for the Eagles in that first round there. Jimmy, always great talking. You also follow Jimmy on Twitter, at Jimmy Kemski. Jimmy, thanks, man.
Appreciate it, guys.
All right, take it easy. Appreciate that. Jimmy Kemski, PhillyVoice.com. It kind of figures when you look at the rest of the NFC East and how it breaks down with the two teams, with the Redskins and the Giants just kind of being those teams that just have no plan. That's what it seems like right now.
Yeah, it sucks, doesn't it?
And how about the Cowboys? Did you see them? Was it last night they were throwing popcorn in each other's faces?
They were the Stars game, yeah, and Dak fed popcorn to Zeke, who did the stupid eat-up spoon thing.
Yeah.
It was adorable.
I wanted to tweet a gif of Carson working out. Right? Like, oh, you guys enjoying the start? But I didn't want to be that guy. You're like, oh, yeah, you can't have time off? Carson was at the basketball game the other day.
Yeah.
Giving words of wisdom to Bryce Harper.
Yeah, Zeke bothers me.
In what way?
Just seeing him.
Just his face?
Yeah, just his general presence.
Does he hate the face?
Yeah, just his general presence.
More than Jared Dudley?
Yeah, because he's good.
Yeah, exactly.
That is an issue. That is an issue. Speaking of Jared Dudley, we'll let you hear him backtracking as we continue that theme of the day. We'll let you hear that in just 1 second. But Carmen's in Audubon. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic now. What's up, Carmen?
Good morning, gentlemen. How you guys doing?
Good, right? Buddy. Happy draft week.
Happy draft week. Excited. I wanted to talk about the prospects. I think they're going to go defensive tackle.
Yeah, okay.
I like Lawrence. They're also like Christian Wilkins.
Okay.
I don't know if they'll be able to get him. They might have to.
He's another Clemson. That defensive line at Clemson was pretty stacked.
Yeah.
That goes without saying.
But I think that's definitely a big need. Also, if it's quarterback, if they do draft a quarterback, what do you think late sixth, seventh, or maybe undrafted Easton Stick?
Oh, I love him.
That would make a lot of sense, right?
The greatest
two North Dakota State quarterbacks on the same team.
I could ever imagine.
North Dakota Eagles.
Carmen, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. When someone starts saying sixth or seventh round, I'm like,
do whatever you want there. I don't care.
I'm like, you know what? Yes. Do it.
I would draft a quarterback every single year, honestly.
What's the downside?
Yeah, like late. I'd take a flyer on a sixth-round pick just to get him in there and see what he's got, and maybe he can turn into something.
Is there any chance Wilkins is available at 25?
I doubt it.
I would highly doubt that.
I think he's like top 12 projected.
He's a lottery pick, even though they don't have lottery picks. I knew he was high. I wasn't sure if it would be that high or not. Jared Dudley, ladies and gentlemen. If you remember our good friend Jared Dudley. Now, I did a bit for NBC Sports Philadelphia.com, the My Teams app, if you will, where I went around asking people if Jared Dudley was someone they could recognize. Because Joel Embiid called him a nobody the other day after the game. After game four in Brooklyn. And so I wanted to know, okay, who can recognize him, basically? Can you recognize him? So I took a picture around, and some people thought, well, first off, no one can recognize him. The other part, and if they did recognize him, they recognized him as the guy trying to start fights against the Sixers, which I thought was good. One person thought he was a baker by trade.
I totally see that.
Yeah, absolutely. Another person thought he was an Uber driver. That was another one. They thought it was an Uber driver. And then I asked a six-year-old kid who said that Jared Dudley looks like a guy who does cartwheels. Kids say the darndest things. Mm-hmm. But Jared Dudley, if you remember, said that Ben Simmons was average in the half court. Ben then responded in the following game by going 9-for-11 in the half court sets. So Jared Dudley, I guess, after game four, and this was yesterday, wanted to clarify his own comments regarding Ben Simmons. And I hear nothing but a truck backing up.
Well, my comments were directed as basically me being a coach or an analyst directing of how we're going to guard someone. How we're trying to guard him is put him in the half court.
Right.
The difference is I'm a player that just voices my opinion more directly and more, you know, obviously not really caring about what their feelings are about. My feelings is, if I said he was average in the half court, when you want to put him in because he's elite, mm-hmm. all-star level in the full court.
Right.
He's someone that can give you a lot of different stuff in the half court. He tells you. He comes right at you. He comes over that left shoulder hook with the right hand 95% of the time. So you know that, and then he gets a lot of offensive rebounds. With me, I'm a 12-year guy. I'm not going to give you those points. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I've guarded Kobe in the playoffs, Brandon Roy, Dirk Nowitzki. Those guys, you have to play further out. So it's not being disrespectful. Now, he might have taken it because they heard the word average.
Yeah.
So once he gets going and he had such a good game, a lot of those good games, I'm not on him.
Yeah. All right, elite. He used the word elite here. Did mm-hmm. he use the word elite prior, trying to almost like rip Ben Simmons?
No, I don't remember him saying he's elitely average.
He didn't use the phrase he's elite in an open court and he's average in a half court. Like, no. I don't remember that differentiation. I just remember he's an average player in the half court. So what's he trying to do there?
Mm.
Men's fences? You had an interesting theory, Bob, earlier in the show.
I think he's auditioning. I think that was him auditioning for ESPN for the next series coming up when the Nets get bounced and ESPN always has that player come in. I think that's what he was doing. Although he did use the word tooken.
Oh, he's not going to make it.
I think he was tooken. He tooken it the wrong way or whatever he said.
It's over for him then, for Jared Dudley.
Yeah.
Jamie, you get that vibe that he's trying to audition for that playoff analyst role?
I mean,
he does list his resume.
He compared himself to an analyst.
Trying to be an analyst here.
And he covered Kobe and Brandon Roy and Dirk Nowitzki.
So there we go. Get him in the studio.
As Carlos said earlier, they went on to win championships that same year that he covered.
Well, isn't Chauncey Billups rumored to be in a running for a job somewhere in a front office, I think?
Yes.
So maybe he's just trying to slide right into that role for the rest of the playoffs.
Chauncey Detroit, wasn't it?
I think it was Detroit.
I thought it was Detroit.
Did LA get?
I think there was a new rumor about him as well.
With the Lakers?
Right. Yeah.
They're a busy franchise right now.
And Luke Walton and the Kings have a little something on their hands as well.
Well, I don't know if that's the way you want to phrase that, Jamie.
Yeah, it's not the right way.
I'll back that one up and say they have a situation.
No, I think it's fine.
A rising?
possibly.
Wow, Bob.
That might be too far, Bob. Why do we always got to rein in Bob? I mean, we're trying to have fun here, Bob.
Leave it to the real journalists.
That's why I don't have nice things.
Bob still. First thing I heard this morning.
I'm still sour.
First thing I heard this morning at like 5:10 in the morning was Bob being like, "Oh, you like that sandwich, Jamie?" And I knew just from the way he said it,
was that it most likely Pat Egan. It was somebody he got Jamie a sandwich and did not get Bob a sandwich as well.
And I didn't even ask for it, which I think is what really hurt Bob.
Yeah.
The feud continues, ladies and gentlemen.
If Egan comes up to me one more time and says, let's hug it out, I might throw him against the wall.
It's a real thing. You know what? We shouldn't be angry because we have somebody on the line with us right now that always makes us feel better about our day and always explains things in a way that can only explain things to make us feel better about everything. And that man's name is Iggy in KOP. Iggy, what's up?
Hey, can I give your station a little bit of advice?
Please.
Not you guys in particular because you guys are new, but like the general station, your shows in your stage.
This is going to be good.
Instead of trying to like bribe people to listen with all these, you know, $1,000 giveaways, I've listened to a lot of these shows for a while now, and they're stale. They're the same thing. They have the same every show.
Kind of like your phone calls.
Yeah, that's it. And what you got to improve, make it exciting.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
That's great advice.
Instead of just giving away money and trying, that's just short term.
Every radio station ever does that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand that, but you got to freshen up the show.
Iggy, what's your show today?
Not your show, but the other. You know, mainly.
Well,
the
we can't freshen up the other show.
Well,
sorry,
hold on a second, Iggy. But Iggy, we're good. We're doing okay.
No, but you guys are new. So you guys are still going through the process. You know.
Are we tanking yet, Iggy?
Why don't you call other people and tell them this?
Look, this is what I want to talk about today. I am sick and tired of the Philly sports fan. I'm sick and tired of them babying every team year. It should be basically this. Championship or bust for three of our teams. The Sixers, if they don't win the second round against Toronto, the process was a complete failure and you have to blow up this team.
Oh, my God!
That's how important.
Iggy, people improve in life, my friend.
You know, what are you talking about? This. Look at all the moves.
So you would have traded Michael Jordan then?
What the hell are you talking about?
You would have traded 80s Jordan.
What? No. You're comparing Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid to Michael Jordan.
No, you are.
That's stupid.
No, you are. Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Because you would abandon ship based on on the idea that nobody can improve.
Look, you had the greatest teams in the 80s. You're playing the Milwaukee Bucks and the Toronto Raptors.
Uh-huh.
They're not that good.
What's your point?
You should be able to beat these teams with all the moves you've made. And if Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons are elite players, you should beat these teams and get to the finals this year.
All right.
Forget about
there we go.
I hear people. I hate people when they say, oh, I'm happy because Ben is developing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a bunch
sometimes
of crap,
sometimes players
it?
Have
be
to
be happier
develop.
If he got worse.
So okay, how about the Eagles and Wentz? I completely agree with Arrieta. What's his name? Arrieta?
Jake Arrieta, and I made that point. I'm not being soft, Iggy.
It's about championships. And these are the details, the small things that determine whether you advance or you don't.
There you go, Iggy. Now, are you going to call the other people and give them your opinion?
Oh, I have tried to talk to Miss Anelli for years, man.
Well, what's wrong? What's wrong? Are you not getting along with other people?
Look, let me say something. Miss Anelli single-handedly has made sports talk stupid in this.
That is a lie. Mike has done a phenomenal job, and I will end the call at that, my friend. Thank you for the call. But that is just completely BS.
There was a lot to digest there. But the Bucks aren't good. That's a take.
Yeah, a little bit.
They had more wins than the Warriors this year.
Oh, hold on a second.
Best record in basketball.
We need our translator. We have Ingy's brother, Jingy, on the line with us.
Ah, good.
Jingy, thank goodness. Can you translate for us?
Guys, listen. Right now, my brother pissed me off this week. So you know what? I'm finally going to tell you the truth. We're really Cowboys fans, okay? And we root for the Knicks, and we root for everybody. We are called haters.
Chingy, come on.
Listen. That's why you guys don't ever understand. You Philadelphia sports fans just don't get it. We were raised to be haters by our father.
Uh-huh.
So, you know what, Ingy, today, you pissed me off last night. You made mom upset. And you know what? Now I'm coming at you live on the air, Inge.
That's good.
My brother, okay?
Yeah.
So be honest next time you call the radio station and criticize these guys who, honestly, as much as I hate Philly, are doing a damn good job.
Jingy.
So, Inge, next time, call with some respect and stop treating mother disrespectful.
There you go, Jingy.
Thank you.
I'm on your side, Jingy, brother of Inge. Thank you.
There's always a sensible one in the family.
There's always one, Bob. Yeah. There's always one. And Jingy always has to come in here and clean up the mess that Inge leaves behind. I feel like we've done ourselves a service.
I can't believe he doesn't think the Bucks and the Raptors are good teams.
I will say this part. I do understand the idea that, you know, the dynasty teams, Celtics, whatever, Pistons, you got to get through them to get through to the finals back in Jordan's day.
Like, we are aware that, you know, Michael Jordan, a lot of the teams he played had a bunch of, like, tax accountants playing on it, right? Like, this Raptors team would compete in the 90s.
Yeah.
This Bucks team would compete in the 90s. Like, cut me a break.
A little bit.
Revisionist history of how the league was better back then. Yeah. Top to bottom, it's better now. So stop with that crowd.
Inge got him fired up.
Yeah, listen.
Hey, just Jingy, stop with that crap.
Just think of Jingy. Just think of Jingy and calm yourself down a little bit.
Michael Jordan was cooking Craig Elo off the dribble.
Ooh!
Wow.
Shout out for Elo, it's good! 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Coming up, reset the table with Jake Arrieta. In case you missed the comments from last night, we'll also let you hear, not only... All right, now I'm distracted because I just saw a tweet that I couldn't ignore. I think Inge is related to Jared Dudley. It's possible. I cannot confirm or deny, but I'm pretty sure it's 100% accurate. 610-632-0975. Coming up, we'll let you hear from Jake Arrieta after last night's ball game, and we'll also let you hear from Gabe Kapler and Bryce Harper on the Harper ejection. Time of the Fanatic is 9:26. First round of the NFL.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Draft. Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Sam Wilson on vacay as well. Andrew Salchunas on the updates. My name is Mark Farzetta. So Jake Arrieta took issue with some of his teammates, and it's not the first time it's happened. In case you hadn't heard it yet, we'll run through all these real quick. Here's Jake Arrieta on the Bryce Harper ejection in the fourth inning last night. And, you know, Bryce Harper agreed with these comments, but here's Arrieta. That Jake Arrieta comment.
I mean, yeah. He's got to understand. Look, we need him in right field. I don't care how bad the umpire is. He wasn't great for either side. I'm out there trying to make pitches. He misses some calls. So what? Like, we need him out there.
And again,
I don't care how bad he is. I need him in right field. I need him at the plate. And he wasn't there.
But to Harper's credit, he was all over it after the game, and he owned up to the fact that he's got to shut his mouth a little bit.
I mean, it just can't happen. You know, my side, you know, a game like that against the Mets, division rival, things like that, just can't happen. You know, for me, myself, and this team as well, we're a better team than being in the lineup, and you know, I got to stay in there.
All right. Is there any issue there?
No.
Everyone's.
We're good so far.
Everyone's on the same page.
Yeah, we're all right.
But here's just before we play the other two Arrieta things here, the other quotes from Jake Arrieta, Gabe Kapler took exception to Harper being ejected from the game. And if you couldn't tell by him running onto the field to try to defend his player to home plate umpire Mark Carlson, well, then you can listen to this comment because I believe he's asked by Matt Gelb of PhillyVoice.com as to whether or not he agreed with the ejection.
That ejection was warranted?
I didn't.
Why not?
Because there was normal chirping from the dugout that is in every dugout every single night. It was no different.
What did you think of the strikes then tonight?
Our dugout did not agree with Mark. A lot of Mark's calls. I think everybody can go back and look at the game and form their own opinions.
Hmm.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. You go, look, by pointing out that there's nothing different between what was said by Bryce Harper or anybody on the bench, anybody in the dugout as compared to every other game, that makes you think that, okay, the umpire had something to be a little frustrated throughout the game. I don't know. He had something that was irking him in particular and decided, oh, this is the way I'm going to handle it today, even though it's probably not the most justified thing. And to see Gabe Kapler that angry lets you know that the umpire's out of line.
Yeah, he had to sit through a 2-hour rain delay too. Maybe he was in a little bit of a sour mood.
He was
cranky, what he was. Usually, though, if you see somebody get ejected from the bench, usually there's a couple of things that'll come before that.
Rabbit ears.
A couple of things will precede that, where you'll see an umpire look over and all right, that's enough. Like maybe a finger point. This is your warning.
Right.
He just went full out, gone.
Yeah, in the fourth inning, after 3-hole hitter.
Yeah, after right. A pitch that was maybe a foot out of the strike zone was called a strike.
Yeah, and Matt Gell, by the way, of The Athletic, excuse me, not Philly Voice. Now, here's Jake Arrieta. Now, again, he goes out there for his start. He's looking for the opportunity to go 4 straight starts, at least 7 innings. It doesn't go that way. He allows 4 runs, 3 of them earned on 7 hits, 7 strikeouts, over 6 innings of work, issues just 1 walk, throws 99 pitches. There were 3 errors that happened behind him in the game. Hernandez, Altair, Realmuto all had errors in this one. Hoskins had a home run. Hernandez had 2 hits. Only 2 Phillies were able to hit the baseball in this game. So Arrieta, after a 2-hour rain delay, wasn't exactly happy that the Phillies came out with no spark.
We were flat. The dugout was flat. Defense wasn't good. Didn't throw the ball well as a staff overall. We got beat.
Okay,
exactly. You're right. Looking at that and you're going, all right, what else happened here? Because it's one thing to say a team looked flat. It's one thing to say that your team didn't exactly look like they had that giddy up as they had in other games and other starts for you. So what exactly is the problem here? And this is where he separates things from his teammates and himself.
We started at 8:45, and I don't think our guys were ready to play. I'm out there doing everything I can to win a game. I need my guys behind me. I'm not happy with the way we showed up today. We need to come out tomorrow ready to go.
I don't know anything. I'll admit that. I'm not saying somebody told me. I don't have a source telling me. But something leads me to believe that there was more than just a rain delay that he was bothered with. When you come out like that, I don't know if he wasn't happy with the way the guys were prepping during the rain delay. I don't know if he wasn't happy with the guys looking lethargic. Maybe it's as simple as that, where the guys even in the clubhouse seemed lethargic and then took that onto the field. Maybe it's something as simple as that. Maybe it's something nowhere near the overdramatic stuff that happened with Fortnite from last year that came to light before this season even started. But something I think happened before they took the field that he didn't like about his team.
I think you're onto something. I really do.
Just saying.
Look, if it's just a kick in the butt, like 22 games, we're 12-10, lost 4 of 5, let's nip this in the bud, let me get on their butts a little bit, okay. But you put yourself on the island in so doing in your wording. The wording being, I'm working my butt off, they're not ready to play. You know, deserted island. Here you go. Here's Jake Arrieta.
Yeah,
you could have done it if that was the intention, to kick some butts, to wake some people up, because of 12-10 is kind of mediocre, and especially what the expectations were. Not sure that was the best way to do it by isolating yourself from the rest of the team.
And he tried doing it last year. We pointed it out with Scott Kingery, with Gabe Kapler. He pointed it out after the San Francisco Giants series last year in early June, where he didn't like the play Scott Kingery made at shortstop, and he didn't like the defensive shifts being set up by Gabe Kapler. Said they were about the worst in the MLB when it came to those shifts. So he's done it before. Unfortunately, last year in that June, he finished with a 6.66 ERA. Bounced back in July, but still, for that entire month, he struggled. Let's get to Matt in Millville. Matt, we'll talk Sixers with you, but real quick, do you agree with Jake Arrieta calling out his teammates?
Yes and no. I don't think he has proved himself to be talking the way he has the last couple of years, but that's just my opinion on I love the Phillies, but I just think that was a bold move by him, especially this early on.
Yeah, exactly. That's what makes me think there was something more serious than just bad play.
I agree.
All right, what do you got on the Sixers, brother?
So, real quick, not to bounce back to basketball, but I actually agree with what Jared Dudley said. I'm been a long time Sixers fan. I'm actually frustrated to see the way the season's played out, but I think there needs to be a change. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and, you know, blame Brett Brown. I just think, to be honest, I think Simmons needs to have someone on his butt the whole time. I need to get the best out of him. I mean, the regular season's one thing, but when it comes to the playoffs and the amount of talent that's on that team and the performance that he just gives, it's unacceptable, especially being a number one draft pick. My question to you guys, how much longer are we willing to take from this guy until we're ready to just ship him off? And
Hold on, real quick. Did he not just have a triple-double in this series? Did he not just score 31 points? I mean, what are you seeing, Matt?
I don't think he would have had the same game if it wasn't for the comments that Dudley said to him. And to be honest, that's true.
Okay, I think that's a small little hurdle that you have to overcome in that getting him, you know, ready to go every game is something he'll have to learn, but it's not something you give up on him for when he shows you what kind of talent he can have when that fire's burning.
And it's also easier to score for him when Joel Embiid's not in the game.
That's true, but at the same time, I'm tired of the baby. Like, we keep babying this guy. Look how much potential he does have. If he can develop a jump shot, he's never going to learn if he doesn't start doing it. You know what I mean? If he's on the arc and he's spreading the ball around, and you have a defender that drops away from you, in my opinion, as a player, if I was in the NBA, I'm going to take that shot regardless if I make it or not. Because what it does is it's going to spread the floor more.
Yeah, and I hope, Matt. Thanks for. Oh, actually, Matt, I'm going to put you on hold. You're gonna win our tickets there to go see the Avengers Endgame. Two tickets from Fandango for Marvel Studios Avengers Endgame. It opens in theaters this Friday. But here's the thing. That's why this series makes me look even more so forward to the future, because I see a much better Ben Simmons after this moment.
Yeah, so you go from rookie to stardom or get rid of him. I just don't understand. Yeah,
it doesn't make a lot of sense.
You know, where's the logic? I don't know.
No, logic goes out the window. 610-632-0975. We got Euro John. We'll talk to him in a minute, then we'll wrap things up coming up in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic. 610-632.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
0975 Sixers Nets tonight, right here on 97
Philadelphia. We got action here in the center.
It's over, right? We're done.
Frankly, I don't even know why the Nets are stepping off the bus.
I'm surprised they even showed up. Maybe they get Greyhound miles.
Both of you. So uncomfortable when we talk about this stuff.
For the record, who is doing matchups of Sixers Raptors?
Yeah, you.
Bob Cooney. That would be that Bob Cooney fella. We're trying to lure us in to think past the Nets. Now we're there. We're doing matchups for game 5 because we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know how many minutes Greg Monroe's going to get. We don't know.
He should get more than Jamie wants him to get. That's for sure.
Pretty much. Euro John, what's up, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, man.
I want to talk about this guy the Nets need to play. I don't understand the way Redick is guarding Joe Harris. He can't get a shot off. I don't understand why they haven't gone to this guy, Musa, who's a rookie, got drafted in the late first round. But in my opinion, he has more upside in scoring than Bogdanovich from the Pacers. In a couple of years, this guy's going to be a 20-point scorer in the NBA. And what he can do, he can shake guys off the dribble. So instead of D'Angelo Russell having the ball 80% of the time and basically jacking up shots left and right and being a gunner, they could have this guy Musa take Redick off the dribble, which Joe Harris obviously can't do.
Yeah.
How come he's only played 9 games this year, John?
Well, in terms of, it's a defense, but in terms of if you're going to spread the court, in my opinion, they're better off just going right at Redick. And Joe Harris has shown that he can't do that. He can't beat him on the pick. So, in my opinion, Harris is useless in this series. And this guy Musa That's the one thing you can do. You shake guys off the dribble.
All right, I'm writing this down. You say this guy's going to average 20 points in the NBA. Another Euro prediction from you, just like Hezonja was going to average 20 a game also.
Well, Hezonja's finally got the ball this year.
Here we go.
He had a 30-point game. He basically needs the ball. Now, I'm not saying he's going to be like a 30-point scorer, 20-point scorer, but Hezonja has talent. They just never gave him the ball. When they finally gave him the ball this year, he showed he could play a little bit in the NBA.
Watch out, Sixers, for Musa tonight. If he comes out, it's trouble.
I'm just saying, I don't understand. I'm 52 years old in July. Reddick can't guard me off the dribble. So I don't know why they haven't had this guy at the top of the key.
I bet he could.
But I don't know about that, Bob. Me and you used to play back in the day at Corey's. You didn't see me in my heyday, Bob. I grabbed the rim.
He shut you down in your heyday, John. That's how I remember you.
Shots fired! Challenge issued from Euro Bob.
I was grabbing the rim afterwards a little bit, Bob. But no, this guy Musa can play, Bob. I'm telling you, that's what they should do.
There we go.
All right, I wrote it down. 20 again.
Euro Bob.
I like that Hezonja kid out of Lithuania. Where is he from? Serbia. Where's his deal? Where is he from? He's not Croatian, is he?
Yeah, he's Croatian.
So I had a dunk
in summer league like 2 years ago. I would have given up everything. Give up Ben Simmons for that potential.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
No, he was the Okafor year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, he was.
I think it was the same year.
Yeah,
I think
he was fourth? Fifth? Sixth?
Seventh jumps to mind, but whatever. No, he's fifth. I'm looking at it right here. He's fifth. But, didn't he dunk on Russell Westbrook and do, like, the big pump up or whatever it was? It was like, why don't you relax, Arizona? Yeah. Let's put a bow on this one, folks. Let's get our Twitter poll brought to you by Window Nation, of course. Last time I checked it was at 64% people saying, Jamie, that Jake Arrieta, they agreed with Jake Arrieta calling out his teammates after the loss last night against the New York Metropolitans. Do you have it up there?
It's loading.
He's no Sam Wilson.
Full disclosure, I got to sprung that one out a little bit.
It's 2,100 votes, 64%. You're so good, Mark. You didn't even need the results. You're right on the nail.
I do what I can.
64%, yes, it was needed. 38% say no, it was not needed. When you're searching for windows, search windownation.com.
There we go. Jamie Lynch, takeaway of the day. How about that one?
My takeaway of the day was I need to start the music first. My takeaway of the day is Bob Cooney's already looking ahead to Sixers Raptors, that's really disrespectful of the basketball gods out there. Bob, you really need to stop looking ahead and deal in the present. They call it the present because it's a gift. Today is a gift. Yeah. Live in today, Bob.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Don't even look at me.
Pat Egan.
My takeaway of the day is just trying to do a nice act for a friend at 4:30 in the morning. Cost you another potential friend, and that friend was Bob Cooney.
I don't think a friendship was ever being forged there.
I mean, to each their own. That's one way to see it.
All right, I'll go there. Bob Cooney, take away the day.
Yeah, on that, much like Mike of King of Prussia, Egan, you're dead to me.
Oh, my goodness!
But you support Inge.
But I support Inge.
Staunch supporter, if you will, of Inge. My takeaway of the day is that after today, we 100% get to enjoy what will most likely be a backtrack Wednesday. Jake Arrieta is probably going to issue a clarification today. That seems to be the thing to do.
Phillies
are a lock tonight?
Ooh. Yep, they're going to respond well.
Inspired baseball.
Yep.
Stay tuned for Gargano Martinez Middays.
We love it. I think it's incredible.
Here on 97.5, The Fanatic.
Kicking ass and taking names. Guys are dripping with sweat. Let's open it up and chat. Throwing balls as hard as they could throw it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.